10 years of OK Radio repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
On a star-spangled night, my love, Sterling will come on the air. You can listen to him for free as he plays his kazoo, my love.
All right, it's 8 past the hour. Good evening, Walter M. Sterling. Every damn Sunday night on this radio station. Steve Moore at KMOX. Hey, Steve, you realize how much I'm on your radio station nowadays? How about a thank you, Walter? How about a good job, Walter? How about anything that recognizes what Alan first recognized years ago, which is, you do it 5 nights a week. That's a real grind. That was his career guidance, Alan First at KMBZ. And there's Bill White. Haven't heard from Bill White in God knows when. And Paul Vander in Albany, the voice of Albany radio, the king of Albany radio. And then my favorite of all, Dan Gaffney. Now, the best thing about Dan Gaffney, he's the morning man at our affiliate in Delaware, Delaware 105.9. The best thing about Dan, he's a illusionist. He's a mentalist. He's a stage actor. And his adorable wife, also a stage actor. And then they have, 18 children, and they don't let them have cell phones. There you got it. There's the layout of our affiliates, but let's not forget our number one affiliate, our first affiliate, our most important affiliate, WPHT in Philadelphia, run by the brilliant David Yadgaroff, the best. Listen, I know what I'm talking about. And radio geeks know I know what I'm talking about. David Yadgaroff's the best market manager, best market president I've ever known. All right, 10 minutes past the hour. That's enough radio geek stuff. All right, we salute our Midnight Misfits. We're so grateful that you are a Midnight Misfit and choose to be with me tonight. Thank you very much. Keith Mortensen used to be of Levittown, Pennsylvania, and now he's in Florida. Janine Plaskin, Malika Hill, New Jersey. Sean Conway, Norwood, Pennsylvania. Lynn Murray, Longhorn, Pennsylvania. Amber Falkert, Kansas City, Kansas. These are the Midnight Misfits tonight. We salute them and we thank them. If you'd like to be an official Midnight Misfit, well, you're going to have to do some work and get off. Get off that butt of yours, that well-fed butt of yours, and go to Walter Sterling Show, Walter Sterling Show, and click on Midnight Misfit. and get your membership card. And then your name will be on the radio. Yes.
Imagine being able to build an app with your name on it.
Yes, I'd like to build an app with my name on it, but that'll never happen because any time I've ever gotten near apps, when I've thought, you know, it might be a good thing to test. It's my earphones aren't right. Anytime I've thought about it, you know, an app, you know, it'd be good to make an app. I'll start to make the app, and I get through two steps, and then it wants money. Make an app. It's free. Okay. And then I try. And then it wants money. It'll never happen. We're not going to be doing that. No. I think we should spend more time on this, and then I'll actually start a show. Are you ready? Yes. Driving across the country with me.
Love American style.
You ready? Do you have one? Let's go. Let's have a good one. Who was Edward Andrews? Edward Andrews appeared in every one of these crappy 70s shows. Edward Andrews. And Jim Backus appeared in all of them, too, but I know who that is. And Ted Bessel. Carl Betts. Frank Campanella and Judy Carn. Annette Comer. Who was Annette Comer? All right. And now you've just enjoyed the part of the show that I personally enjoy. How did that work for you? Was that good? Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday night.
Sterling every damn night.
Florida, America's favorite phallic state dangling out in the ocean. I'm James Parker. Florida stories yet to come on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Hi, I'm retired detective Vic Ferrari. And on tonight's episode of Confessions of a Retired Detective, an NYPD cop gets two checks in the mail from his pension. What happens next? Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
This is Matthias Bohm-Bell. Coming up, my Hollywood report on movies, live on Sterling Every Damn Night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Let's build some space.
Her soft, warm hands rubbed the thick fluid into Catalina's skin. Strong, tender fingers probed into her muscles, pinpointing all areas of stiffness. She worked her way across the top of her back, from her neck and shoulders out toward her upper arms. Her circular motions never ceased, erasing all traces of the day's exertion.
Every damn night.
Michael in Havertown, welcome to Sterling every damn Sunday at 855-839-1210. Now you are the media, Michael. Be the media. Feel the media.
I guess I am.
Are you feeling the media?
Yeah. Oh, most definitely.
And what does that do for you?
Well, it gives me an opportunity to promote information and let your audience know what's going on.
Well, I want to hear what you have to say, Michael, but I don't want you to educate anybody. That would be contrary to the purpose of this show.
Okay.
Share your thoughts. Go ahead.
Okay, I just want to let you know that regarding the you're aware of the college situation, and I'll be starting in on August 24th.
Oh, hold it. That, Michael, my dear Michael, let me tell you 28 seconds about this caller, who's different than a different caller. Michael. Michael started out his life with many challenges. I would say all challenges. And Michael and his parents decided that they were not going to do anything to get in his way. And they have not. And he's had a full life. He's overcome every known handicap. And now at the age of over 35, he's decided to go back to college, where he's excelling and winning presidential awards for being a great student and a scholar. Now, Michael's calling to give me an update on how you're doing, Michael. What is your next step?
Well, I'm going to be great. I just found out yesterday when I graduate next month in May from the community college, Delaware County Community College, I'm going to be graduating with honors because I have a 3.0 GPA. Which gets you honors. If you have a 4, you get high honors, but a 3.0 gets you honors. And then I'll graduate with a social and human service assistant certificate of competency. And then I've been also now accepted to Westchester University's criminal justice program. And so August 24th, I will be starting at Westchester.
And there it is, Michael. There it is. You have risen from the ashes, like Christ, to new heights due to your efforts, your decency. Nothing was handed to you, buddy. Man, nothing was handed to you. I congratulate you. Michael, you're a good friend to the show. I am flattered that I'm on your list of friends who get updates as to what you're doing in school. He sends out updates as to his conversations with professors and tests and awards. And Michael, I am deeply flattered to be on that list, and I'm flattered that you would listen to this stupid show. And thank you very much for calling me. Thank you for calling at 855-839-1210. Michael overcame birth defects, the kinds they have telethons about. And he doesn't think about them. He just does what he has to do to succeed. And any excuse you or I might have to not do something, he doesn't. He just doesn't care. All right, let's go to Hollywood and Mateus Boom Boom. Hello, Mateus.
Boom Boom Hollywood, Sterling every damn night.
Now, was this a big movie weekend? Oh, yes, it was. Please give us an update on that huge movie.
Oh, man, has it been a big movie. It's the biggest movie of the year, although I am not the audience for this picture, but apparently the folks at Universal Pictures are delighted that the movie that they cost them $110 million to make in just 5 days has not only made back its cost within 5 days and has doubled it since then. Roughly globally, the opening weekend was $372.5 million in 5 days. That's absolutely nuts. And they're jumping over themselves in Hollywood right now at Universal City there near Burbank. The gross in the U.S. Canada alone is $190,053. Excuse me, $190,053,400. The numbers are so big, I can't even explain it. $190,053,455 in the U.S. and Canada in 5 days. Hard to believe.
it's impossible to believe. What is the projection for its total gross in a month or two? What do you think?
Oh, now that's a very interesting question, because has everyone, since they came out in droves, have they all seen it this opening weekend and it'll peter away, or will it just slowly, gradually build or level off? I think it'll probably have a really solid second week, and I think it'll peter out after that. But Universal's just happy right now. They're laughing all the way to the bank. I mean, they just made twice what they cost to make them and the cost of making it. So they're very happy down there. And so I'm sure are the cast that voiced the Super Mario Brothers movie, including Chris Pratt, who played Mario, Charlie Day, who plays Luigi, at least his voice. There's Keegan-Michael Key. Anna Taylor-Joyce plays Princess Peach, who's kidnapped in this movie, Walter. And the Mario Brothers have to go try and save her from the evil Bowser, who is voiced by Jack Black. So that's the essence of what goes on in this thing. But I needed an eight-year-old kid to explain it to me, because all of the minutiae of what goes on in a video game is completely lost on me. But if it is lost on you, too, go with a kid. Not only will they have a great time and you'll be their hero for taking them, not only that, but there are a few jokes you'll laugh at as well along the way that are just there for folks in that kind of a situation.
Anna Taylor-Joy, who was the star of Queen's Gambit, which was a remarkable movie. Yeah. Don't you think there's something wrong with her?
Her eyes are very wide apart.
Yeah. Do you think you could actually have a conversation with her? It is disconcerting. Do you think you could actually have a conversation with her? Could you sit down and have a chat with her? She doesn't strike me as somebody with whom you could have a chat.
Well, 2 years ago at the Critics' Choice Award, about a year and a half ago, I actually called in from there as it was happening. I had just had an ice cream just opposite the table with Anna Taylor-Joy, and I kept looking at my ice cream spoon and figuring, which eye do I look at? No, I'm kidding.
Yes.
She was radiantly beautiful. She's radiantly beautiful. But it is just a little bit disconcerting. It's that unusual nature that makes her so interesting. If you go back to classic Hollywood, stars that were unusual looking also did very well. Audrey Hepburn, for example, who was
Peter
waifish.
Lord.
And yet, sure, as far as character actors, sure.
Yes.
Or George Zucco, even before that,
yeah,
with the Coke bottle glasses. Yeah,
yeah,
sure, absolutely. Mm. Now, you asked earlier about Annette Comer, but did you mean Anjanette Comer?
I did mean it. I didn't even presume that anybody besides me would know who Anjanette Comer was. Therefore, I just made it into Annette, but I'd never seen the word Anjanette in my life, but that was her first name.
Yeah, well, she did it a couple of episodes of The Practice recently. She was in a series called The Pennsylvania Miner Stories, Streets of Laredo, back in the 90s. Of course, she was huge in the 1960s when she made this really cult classic in 1965, The Loved One, which is based on Evelyn Waugh's satirical story about the American funeral system, where she played a funeral cosmetician. Rod Steiger was in that. It had a cast of a million people, everyone you knew. It was just one of these really wild Terry Southern things directed by Tony Richardson. So that's why she's probably most remembered today for The Loved One. But she was in The Guns for San Sebastian, The Baby, that came out in 1973, big 60s and 70s stuff.
Well, yeah, but when I saw a picture of her face, I immediately searched for bikini pictures of her.
Well, she had an unusual face also. She always looked like slightly off. There's something wrong with that girl. That's what you think when you see her face in her youth. Now she's matured into a nice, a mature woman who still performs occasionally. But when she was young, she had a beautiful, thin figure, but her face was just a little bit different.
All right, Mateus Boom Boom Hollywood, how do I find you on Facebook?
This Easter, this Passover, or any time throughout the year, and a happy one to all celebrating, our Misfit listening right now especially, Mateus Bombal's Hollywood on Facebook, MATIASBOMBAL, Hollywood, like the city, on Facebook. Thanks so much, Walter.
Mateus, great broadcaster, great critic, and a terrific friend. Thank you for being my friend, and happy Easter, my friend. 47 past the hour, Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday. Let's go to space.
Tender fingers rose to cup her chest, sinking in to the pliant flesh. She squirmed, but couldn't evade their probing touch. A wicked chuckle resonated near her ear. "You've been driving me wild all day," Tabitha whispered. "Since we met, to be honest."
Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, it's Sterling every damn night. On the sea or on the land, Walter gets the situation well in hand.
Midnight Misfits, welcome Walter Sterling, 52 minutes past the hour, driving across the country on I-80. God help you if you're on 90 and 91. All I've read all weekend is about delays, accidents, trouble on I-90 and I-91. I don't know what to do about it, but I thought I'd just empathize with you. You're driving an 18-wheeler. Thank you. You're the ones who are doing service, and there's a conspiracy against truckers in America. They just had a huge convention in Nashville, thousands of truckers from all over the country. And all I talked about was the onerous tolls, the ridiculous tolls, the rules and regulations that apply only to them that are created by people in Washington who have never been in the cab of a truck. My friend, anytime you want to talk, I want to talk to you, put you on the air, you tell us the problems of driving a truck, making a living as a truck driver, I respect you. 85, my phone number, you ready? And you go on the air. This way you talk to America. Instead of complaining to each other at the love truck stop, you complain to America and maybe something will get fixed.
I know something about love. You gotta want it bad. If that guy's got into your blood, go out and get him. If you want it to be.
There's Father Jim Drucker on Easter. Father Drucker, thank you for being us on a high volume day for a priest. Hi.
It's wonderful to be on, and I want all your audience to know that I'm praying for each of us, we Americans, and for good people throughout the world, all good people, not just us. And may God bless and protect us and help us in our endeavors to make this even a safer and a better world for democracy and freedom for all people of all nations of the whole world.
Father Jim Drucker has been a priest for over 45 years, a Catholic priest. He was the official Navy chaplain, Desert Storm, stationed in Afghanistan, Purple Heart, spends his days in VA hospitals, helping, ministering to the injured, the people who are alone and lonely in the VA hospitals. Before that, before he was a priest, he had the calling of being a radio disc jockey, and he was insanely successful at that as well. He was on WARM in Northeast Pennsylvania, which many of us in the radio industry consider to be the best top 40 station there ever was. Father Drucker, right now, you're a soldier in Iran. Tell me about your day. Tell me about your emotional landscape. There you are in a war zone, in a wackadoo country, and tell me about your day.
Walter, first of all, this war, this conflict is a total different situation than any that I've known. You always have a base camp. You have the soldiers going directly into the combat zone. Now, anybody in the area is in what we call the zone of combat operations. But there are those soldiers, those airmen, those sailors, especially Air Force. And this is certainly clearly is a conflict of air, support, and with having our one pilot shot down and being rescued, they were the ones that went into harm's way and miraculously, I use the word, it miraculously saved this pilot's life. So it's a strange thing that we at the base camp, you would have the chaplains You would have the medical and support. You would have the war room, a marvelous thing going on. And then there would be soldiers going directly out. But in this case, they're not. There's no foot soldiers on the ground per se, except in this rescue operation that I understand. But it's a frightening and harrowing thing. And being a priest that cares so much and loves my military, and being at McGuire often, I've had soldiers already send me notes, text, "Father, pray for us." One was a unit out of, I think, Kansas, that's directly in the combat area, and they're going through hell. And the young man shared and asked for my prayers, especially on this Easter weekend, to pray for them, because he said they were directly in combat. But I can't say more than that to say to you that it must be very frightening for a young man, a young woman, to be in a situation where they may be called upon to shoot someone, and God forbid, maybe kill someone, or worse, for themselves, for have themselves to be harmed and to be killed. So my prayers are very diligent and very strong on this Easter Sunday, this Pascha Sunday, when our Lord is risen from the dead. And may God bless our troops and bring about a peaceful and a wonderful, beautiful finality, if you want to call it that, that these evil people would be crushed and that good would reign.
It never even occurred to me till you mentioned it, that part of the hell of being a soldier is the possibility that, not that you're just going to get killed, but that you might have to kill somebody. Father Jim Drucker, thank you very much for being on Sterling Every Damn Sunday. Happy Easter. Blessed Passover. This is Sterling Every Damn Sunday Night.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Do you sleep with cats?
It's Sterling every damn night. He's on every damn night.
He takes to the air without a care and does his nightly shows. And the Midnight Misfits all tune in for reasons nobody knows. It's Sterling every damn night. He's on every damn night.
No, I'm a better disc jockey than that. I can start this better. Here we go. Let's try it. There you go.
I know something about love.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Exciters. The Exciters. Exciters, everybody. Exciters. Wasn't I good? I didn't play the kazoo over it. I respected the 8 of you who love that song. There are certain songs that are like disc jockey favorites that, in fact, the audience doesn't really care for. That's one of them. Every disc jockey loves that song. They also love... I'll play it for you. I'll think of it in a second. But this is amazing. Really, listen.
Live from Tampa Bay, Florida, it's the Home Shopping Club, America's original live discount shop at home TV service. Millions in bargains, thousands in prizes.
Mm-hmm.
great people today. We have a jam-packed show today. Brand new clothing never before seen at Home Shopping Club. Sprinkled in today, along with few that have been
placed
as well.
Here's another opening of the Home Shopping
Club. This records conversations.
No, I don't want that guy. Hold on a second. Here we go.
1-800-7.
No, I don't want that one either. Come on.
You're watching America's number one shop-at-home television service, bringing you 24 hours of savings, fun, and excitement every day. Live from Tampa Bay, Florida, it's the Home Shopping Club.
Hi, everybody. It's the hottest show in town. It's the Bargathon. Even shocked the heck out of Mel here. He's just over here with me today. Mel Arthur in with me. My name's Dan Dennis. It's going to be cut 'em, whack 'em, let 'em go time today here at the club. I'll tell you what, we've got some real exciting things coming up in the show. Quite frankly, first hour of the show, we've got the blue topaz.
And the Mirage ring.
The Mirage ring, which is a great looking ring. One of the highest style, fashion style rings.
And I said, you know what's in the show? I asked Star, I said, why is this in the show? He said to me, because that's still selling a regular show. He said, we want to make this a special bargathon today. Sunday.
It's going to be a very exciting Sunday, folks.
Well, there you have it. The Home Shopping Club. In the 1980s, when the Home Shopping Club started, it was very different than what it devolved into. It was fascinating because today you look at QVC and Home Shopping Network, and they're very slick and professional, and most of those segments are pre-taped. Yes, that's right. Most of them are pre-taped, pre-recorded, which is odd considering that the way it works is they look at the velocity and the volume of things that are being sold, and that determines how long that product stays on the screen. And if it stops selling, boom, gone, and they move on to the next item. The smartest thing that Lowell Bud Paxson, a man for whom I have deep and profound respect, as do you, the creator of the Home Shopping Club, the smartest thing that man did was the word club. Because it didn't start as the Home Shopping Network. It started as the Home Shopping Club. And the Home Shopping Club was the only club 99.9% of their viewers would ever get into. They weren't going to get into Baltusrol, Pebble Beach. They weren't going to get into the Mainline Country Club, the Beverly Hills Country Club. No, they were going to get into the Home Shopping Club. $5 off your first purchase, MasterCard and Visa welcome. It was a dream. You called up. The operator was thrilled to talk to you. The operators were trained to say, congratulations on getting in on this topaz ring. They made callers feel as though they had won something, when in fact they were buying something that was insanely overpriced. Congratulations on getting in on this opal ring, this new opal ring. Congratulations. It was brilliant. And then if you bought something, especially if it was an item that was tough for them to sell, they'd put you through on the air. Hold on. Dan wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you.
And the laptop computer. I mean, let's face it. If you have a youngster in your life, anybody out there that would like to teach the youngsters arithmetic, would like to teach the youngsters vocabulary, spelling, you know, the thing is that the best way to get a youngster to learn
easily
to
said,
make it fun.
Lowest
computers. The Home Shopping Club. In the first few years of the Home Shopping Club being on television, it started on radio. The Pirate Club or something in Tampa Bay. First few years, it started to gross more money than all the Federated Department Stores combined. Immediately, it changed the landscape of American retail. When they go on and on about, Amazon destroyed the malls. No, Amazon didn't destroy the malls. The malls destroyed themselves. But there were two enormous forces working against the malls. Home Shopping Television, which was started by the Home Shopping Club, Lowell Bud Paxson, and then QVC, but that came later. And then, all the online shopping. But that isn't what killed the malls. I'll tell you what killed the malls in just seconds. Walter M. Sterling, 15 past the hour, 15 past the hour, as you and I drive across the country, I want to talk with you. Here's my phone number. You get to go on live. You get to go on the radio. 855-839-1210. Am I right about 90 and 91? They're a mess, right? 855-839-1210. Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday.
Detective Vic and Ferrari.
Hey, Walter. On tonight's episode of Confessions of a Retired Detective, I'd like to tell a story from one of my books entitled Some Things Don't Change. When I entered the NYPD's Police Academy, I was like a deer in the headlights, and I wasn't alone. There was a lot of my fellow students that didn't know what to expect, especially if you didn't have family on the job or a good friend that could kind of help you along. It was just basically getting thrown into the high end of the pool and trying to figure out things for yourself. During my time in the police academy, I had a law instructor who thought he was Lou Gossett in An Officer and a Gentleman. And if he picked up on for a second that you were intimidated by him, or you didn't have your homework right, or you forgot an assignment, he was all over you. It was like mayonnaise. He just wouldn't stop. And I made the mistake one time of not doing my homework or something, and he tore into me, and I was humiliated. I was 21 years old, and I went home that night, and I called one of my friends who had just joined the police department a year before, and I said, I think I'm quitting. And he said, no, I'll come over. And my friend came over, and we talked, and he convinced me to stick it out. He goes, this guy's not worth it. You're going to love the job. But one person who didn't have it as easy as me was a kid that sat up in the front. It's about my age. And for whatever reason, this kid never was prepared. And this law professor would just tear into him. He would ask him a question. He wouldn't have an answer. He'd make him stand up in front of the class and would humiliate this kid. And a lot of us didn't think this guy would graduate the academy. But as luck would have it, the kid did graduate the academy, went out to a precinct out in Brooklyn. And recently I was talking to a friend of mine who was in my police academy class, and this guy's name came up, and he said, you know, some things never change. And I go, what are you talking about? He said, well, he took out a pension loan. Now, let me just stop you there. A pension loan with the NYPD is you take money out against money you've invested into your pension, and you pay yourself back at a low rate. So a lot of NYPD guys, if they got a house closing coming up and they need $5,000-$10,000, or the kid needs braces, they'll take out a pension loan, but then they pay it back, and they're paying themselves back at a low interest rate. So apparently this guy, he's got like 5 or 10 years in, he's got some money in his pension account. He takes out a pension loan of $10,000, let's say, gets the check, deposits it. Well, what happens? About a week later, he gets a second check for the same amount. There was an error. Instead of going back to the union or calling the bank, he deposits that check and thinks nothing of it. Well, no one's going to miss $10,000. What winds up happening is they got in contact with him and said, like, hey, what the hell? And he's like, I didn't realize. The same thing he did in the police academy, and he had to give the money back. Luckily, it was from his own pension loan and not a bank. Otherwise, he'd be in trouble with the feds, with FDIC. So for more behind-the-scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Behind the Blue Wall of Silence.
Sterling!
You remember these good old days? Stand by.
Thursday, Mork and Bickley make the swinging scene and get taken for a ride.
Shouldn't we have kissed him goodnight?
Then a special hour with Cheryl Teague, Cheryl Ladd, and more. John Denver and the ladies.
Shut up!
And the little devil busts loose on Soap.
That was 1979 when nothing could touch ABC. And part of the reason nothing could touch ABC, besides programmer Fred Silverman's brilliant... Oh, look at this. There's a promo that I'm seeing here on the reel that says, not for air. What do you think? You think they cursed or something? Part of the reason was not only were the the show's great, but those promos were unbelievable. And they were all voiced by the same man, Ernie Anderson. Ernie voiced every ABC promo with that incredible voice and delivery. His son, Wes Anderson, is one of the most successful directors in the history of Hollywood. He won an Emmy this year for Best Director. Forgive me, I should know the name of the movie. I don't. But he was very successful. But Ernie was like an old school announcer. He liked to drink. Mostly, Ernie liked to curse. And during those recording sessions, in the recording booth, in the production booth, he was screaming his head off, cursing like crazy. If you have a moment, search on YouTube for Ernie Anderson. I can't play it on the air. And watch how he recorded those ABC promos for Soap and Good Morning America and The Love Boat. That was all one guy, and he did it for years. Now, let me tell you, if you are the announcer for a major television network, you're making a fortune. Just on minimum, you're making a fortune, union minimum. But in his case, I suspect he was on a personal services contract, wasn't allowed to do anything else, and he was very busy. He was cutting those things all day and night. The other part of the story about those promotions is before Ernie and Fred Silverman, the little reels, the little movies you see promoting TV shows, Pawn Stars coming up and Storage Wars and The Love Boat and all the things that you see now that you and I see, that isn't how it used to be. They didn't make little movies of the show coming up. They didn't give us little samples of scenes. It was a slide. You saw a slide, a static slide. It showed you the name of the show, a picture of the star, probably was never updated, the time and date, and that was it. There was a voiceover announcer that would say, "I Love Lucy, tomorrow night at 8 on CBS. But there wouldn't be any footage of I Love Lucy. It was just a slide promotion. And Fred Silverman said, "Well, I want to show little movies of each of these shows. And I want them, and this is the key, I want them constantly updated. You never saw the same one twice." He had them constantly updated. He told me that there were 125 edit bays at ABC dedicated to making the promos. You and I can't even imagine that level of insanity. But the result was that he took ABC from the third place network always to the first place network for years. He made it a huge hit with The Love Boat, Fantasy Island, and like all geniuses, like Mark Goodson, like all the geniuses, when it came to his shows, they were his babies, and he was very unpleasant. Laverne and Shirley was his favorite show. Happy Days, he put on Happy Days. Family, you name it, he put it on. But what was interesting is that working with him was hell. Because he had a very clear vision. Fred Silverman had a very clear vision in his head of what he wanted. Exactly what he wanted. And he wasn't always great at communicating it, but he was always great at communicating what he didn't want. That was never a problem with Fred. I became very good friends with Fred. I was very proud to be his friend. He came to our wedding. He was a great man. There were times in my life where my family had problems, and he was there. He was a good friend, he and Kathy. I'm always grateful to Fred Silverman.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, Schlemiel, Schlemazel, Hassan Beth Incorporated.
We're gonna do it.
Give us any chance, we'll take it.
Impossible. Our show complete, boy, what a treat. Delivered hot right to your home, even to the eternal city of Rome. Don't download a podcast or watch TV. Sterling every damn night is totally free. Oh, what flavor in every bite. Don't sleep tonight. It's Sterling every damn night.
See if you can guess the geography that I'm talking about. Here are some people who are eating lunch, and this is what they say to each other about their conversation. There's always so much drama. That's what we talk about at lunch, the drama. We meet for lunch, and we're like, all right, who are we bashing today? I lurk and I read, a person admits. The group was indispensable for me for so many years. For so many things, I planned vacations and would get full itineraries. Now I use ChatGPT. What groups are they talking about? They're talking about the mom groups on the Upper East Side of New York City. Now, being a mom on the Upper East Side of New York City, you would assume, is a glorious place to be a mother. Beautiful homes, wonderful restaurants. But the gossip is vicious. Others gossiped about their nannies, like one mother who asked if she should be concerned if her caretaker unplugged the camera while she was cleaning her son's room. Should she be worried that the nanny unplugs the security camera while she cleans her son's room? Another question, whether or not it was normal for nannies when it comes to food. Then gave a detailed breakdown of what the child's caretaker is eating. Our nanny usually makes herself breakfast using our food. 2 eggs, a bagel, sometimes a banana. Every morning. And then she cuts fruit for my daughter. She'll have some too. We also let her drink anything in the refrigerator and eat snacks from the cabinet. Is this typical? Do you set any boundaries around food, or is it more like help yourself? The moms of the Upper East Side, well, they have a Facebook group. It has 40,000 people, mothers of the Upper East Side. And they share tips, but then it got ugly. Then they started to get very ugly with each other. Somebody would post a comment and be blocked forever. The article's in the Daily Mail, and it's about an author who wrote a fictional book about being a mommy in New York City. She posts it, and then she's curious about how many members of Moms of the Upper East Side went and looked at it, and it turns out she was blocked. She was no longer welcome among the Moms of the Upper East Side. You're trying to make your rent. You're trying to park your truck to be the first in line to unload your truck at 7 in the morning. You're working at the great shift, the late shift at the Amazon warehouse. And here are moms worried about whether or not to let their nannies eat their fruit, to eat their bagels, to eat their food. And they're worried about nannies who unplug the security camera when they clean the kids' room. The moms, attention moms of the Upper East Side, you have no worries. You have no concerns. Any problem you have is made up. You're making it up. You don't have any problems. Should your nanny be allowed to eat your food? You mean the man or woman who is feeding your child? The man or woman who's in charge of your child's diet and safety all day? You let that woman eat. You let that man eat whatever the hell she wants. All day, every day. Once you get outside of New York City and Beverly Hills, the world's completely different. The thought of having a nanny in most of America is culturally unacceptable. What do you mean a nanny? You take care of your kids. You go to Parma, Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, and they're going to be like, no, you take care of your kids. That's your job. You're a mother. A father, Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday night. Never gonna lose, never gonna lose, Sterling, every damn night.
a solid masculine name that you don't hear all that much. A feller named Mervin Coffey. Mervin was apparently in a little bit of a rush on Monday night, leaving the Playhouse Gentlemen's Club in Florida, Broward County. And he just tore off like a bat out of hell, lost control of his Escalade, and struck a deputy's vehicle. Then he backed up and hit the deputy's car a second time before driving off. Yeah, driving off, according to the police officer. The SUV, though, sadly broke down, and Mervin was arrested. Mervin, by the way, is 28 years old. He's a 28-year-old man named Mervin. Yeah. He's accused of false imprisonment of a person, aggravated battery on an officer, leaving the scene of a crash involving damage to property, reckless driving, damaging person or property, and resisting an officer without violence. I would tend to think that driving your vehicle into the cop car a second time would be violence. But I'm not a prosecuting attorney. I don't know these things. It's Mervin is in the Broward County main jail. They didn't put him in the side one. They didn't put him in the cash jail. No word on whether Mervin has gotten bonded out, but there's a lesson to be learned here. We often make mistakes while driving. Sometimes you may have been in a car wreck, and that's okay. Hitting a cop car, though, is really not what you want to do. And it doesn't say that Mervin had been drinking. You know, that wasn't the thing that he was brought up. So here we go. Mervin is probably going to do a little jail time on this sucker. How's your car insurance? Mine's expensive as hell. I have a perfectly good driving record, and I'm a geezer. Good driving record. Nice looking man. Yeah, real problematic. Mervin's 28 in an Escalade. Yeah, this isn't that good. From the champagne room, hanging with Merv. I'm Velo Hool. Strippers on the loose. Sterling. Every damn night.
Stalling every night. Smutty books, lusty books. Get cozy with Thea Landon.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my book, Chasing the Skies. Renee approached her from one side and tapped the top of her monitor. If you're done with the report, I don't mind if you take off a little early today. Geneva jerked her head up, alarmed her anticipation at the end of the workday had been so obvious to her superior. Oh no, I'm fine. I mean, yes, I'm finished with the report, but I can always find something else to keep me busy. Amusement lit up Renee's dark brown eyes. This isn't a military vessel, Geneva. We can be a little flexible around here. I appreciate it, but... Plus, I know you've got the boyfriend waiting for you at home, and his leave is ending soon. She dismissed her with a flick of her wrist. I know you'll be the first one here tomorrow morning, so go enjoy the rest of the day with my blessings. Her eyes widened, and a flush of heat crept up her neck to her cheeks at the mention of Ash. Are you sure? Go! She headed toward the office's kitchen area, signaling the conversation was over. She couldn't prevent a broad smile from spreading across her face. Thanks, Renee, she called. I'll see you tomorrow. Geneva re-entered the elevator to ride up to the skyscraper's parking garage. Her compact gray hover car, the first one she'd ever owned herself, was parked in her assigned space, and she opened the driver's side door. As she slid in behind the controls, reminders of her parents' protests over no longer using the services of a driver flashed through her mind. Rolling her eyes, she pushed the memory aside and backed out of the space. The double doors opened when she approached, and she zoomed out into the airspace high above the city streets. She navigated the narrow lanes between the lofty buildings, merging alongside other hover cars in the capital's practiced traffic routines. The trip between her office and her apartment building usually didn't take long, barring any accidents or detours, and she pulled into a similar parking structure above her home before the two suns dipped below the horizon. When she opened the door to her apartment, the sound of her TV greeted her. Ash sat on her sofa, eating a snack and wearing nothing but a pair of boxer shorts as he watched the screen. "Hey, you're home early," he said without looking toward the door. "Hey yourself." She crossed the room to lean over the arm of the sofa and planted a kiss on the side of his head. He held out the bag to her as she approached. "Want some pretzels?" "Sure, why not?" She stuck her hand inside and pulled out a fistful. As she popped the first pretzel into her mouth, she followed his gaze toward the TV. "Is this one of those baking competitions?" He nodded, then swallowed. "Uh-huh. They're more dramatic than soap operas." "But you don't bake." "Doesn't matter. These shows are addictive." He gestured toward the screen with the bag of pretzels. "See for yourself." "I'll pass, but thanks." She shrugged out of her jacket and slung it over a nearby chair. "Have you really been watching this all day?" Ash finally looked away from the screen and glanced toward her. "I did go visit Marcus and Adele around lunchtime. But I admit, once I got back and showered, I haven't moved from this position much." "Ah, how nice." One of his eyebrows arched as he ate another pretzel. "Do you want all the explicit details this time, or will your imagination suffice?" "Nah, I'd rather focus on the two of us right now. Especially since you're leaving tomorrow, so I'm glad I have you all to myself tonight." Standing beside the TV, Geneva crossed her arms and pretended to be annoyed. "If I can manage to tear you away from your cakes and cookies, that is." "This is almost over." Chuckling, he sealed the bag and set it on the cushion beside him. "I kind of want to see who bakes the best berry tart, as I'm rather emotionally invested in the outcome at this point. But once it's done, I promise you will have my undivided attention for the rest of the night." I'm Smutty Book author Thea Landon, and you're listening to an excerpt from my book, Chasing the Skies, which is available at Amazon. If you'd like to hear some uncensored excerpts and complete audiobooks, you can go to patreon.com/Thea Landon, and don't forget to send me all your thoughts at smuttythea@gmail.com. Now, let's keep going. "I'm teasing you." Her hands dropped to her sides and she matched his smile. "You were granted a short leave from the ship to relax for a few days, after all. I'm happy to see you doing so." Ash stretched his arms above him and twisted from side to side before folding his hands behind his head to emphasize her statement. "A few more minutes, then I'm all yours." She watched his muscles ripple and flex as he moved around on the sofa, his minimal clothing granting her an unobstructed view. An idea sprang into her mind. "I don't know. You seem so comfortable, I almost hate to disturb you." Tossing her hair back over her shoulder, she strode toward him. When he leaned to one side to see the screen around her, a smirk playing upon his lips, she knelt between his legs. "I assure you, I can find other ways to entertain myself. Beneath the thin material of his boxers, he twitched when she ran her hands up his thighs. You just got home from work, though. So? Geneva's fingers danced up to his elastic waistband, and she traced its edge, skimming along his skin. By this time tomorrow, you'll be gone. I don't want to waste a moment. He swallowed back a groan when she folded back the band. Lifting his hips, he allowed her to slide his underwear down and off his legs. After tossing the unwanted garment aside, she turned her attention back to him. She covered him with feathery kisses, her lips floating up and down with the lightest of touches. His body tensed when her tongue flicked out. You're making it very difficult to concentrate on the berry tarts. Desire strained his voice. She nuzzled him with her cheek before resuming her teasing. Does this mean you want me to stop? Of course not. Geneva sat back on her heels, making sure not to obscure his view of the TV. Biting her lower lip, she unbuttoned her shirt with deliberation, taking her time with each closure. Oh, unfortunately, I need to stop here for tonight, but you know you can always have more. That was an excerpt from my book, Chasing the Skies, which is available at Amazon. For the uncensored excerpts plus complete audiobooks, you can go to patreon.com/TheoLandon. And don't forget to send me all your thoughts at smuttythea@gmail.com. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling every damn night.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Sterling every night, lost in space. Mission control. David's not.
It's explosive how many reports there are every hour about information on UFOs finally being released in detail. UAPs, whatever that means, unidentified, I don't know. Let's just stick with UFOs. The reports from alien life, outer space. Moments ago, I talked to Congressman Matt Gaetz. And Matt was the guy who was up to be attorney general before Pam Bondi, and there was some trouble there. But he says that when he was a congressman, he was told by government workers that the government was performing alien-human hybrid experiments to create alien-human hybrids for the purpose of being able to communicate with aliens more effectively. And I'm like, well, if they have to build alien-human hybrids to communicate with aliens more effectively, that means they must have a problem, which means there must be aliens here. Just talking off the top of my head, Dave Scott.
Isn't it unbelievable? Like 5 years ago, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, if you mentioned anything of these topics on a terrestrial radio station like you are right now, people would be pulling their hair out with you saying, Walter, have you lost your mind? Have you gone rogue or nuts, or do you need to be in a padded room? And now we're having this conversation like it is normal. I mean, it is unbelievable that if this is true, it is something that could literally, if the media took it seriously, could to blow up what we know from day one. I mean, it's a scary story, Walter.
Yeah, it's a scary story, and it was immediately announced as fact. Here's a congressman saying, this happened to me. I was told, I was spoken to, I was explained that that I was briefed.
Yes.
That there's alien human hybrids being created right now to solve a problem, which was, how do we communicate with aliens? Oh my God.
Yeah, it's, look, the tinfoil hat people club that I am a part of are actually the ones telling the truth that this is happening. Now, what has caught me off guard with this entire story that Matt Gaetz has been saying over the last few days is, I knew, and you and I have talked about on this segment, about alien hybridization, where they would take women and men in the middle of the night. They would take sperm from the men. They would take eggs from female ovaries. In fact, many women have claimed that they have shown and tested positive for pregnancy only a few months later to not be pregnant at all. Okay, where did their fetus go? We don't know. We have talked about the fact that these aliens were doing this. Imagine, even my jaw dropped when I heard Matt Gaetz say that he believes that there are up to 14 bases around the United States where they have kidnapped aliens, and they have even allegedly kidnapped people from third world countries, from war-torn countries and destitute people, to use them for the experimentation. Now, if this is really true, which I'm hoping it's not, out of all things, I know I'm a weirdo, Walter, but
I'm
really hoping
you are.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Very proudly so. Okay. Mm. But if this is real and this proves to be real and people actually come out about this, I don't know how the alphabet agencies or the military survives this without some sort of rash condemnation, as well as maybe lawsuits. I mean, people being kidnapped allegedly, Walter, I mean, that's scary. That is very scary. This is only stuff we read about in spy novels or sci-fi type novels or movies, but this could be reality.
The fact that a U.S. congressman is saying as a matter of fact that he was briefed by members of the government, that his government, which he represents both sides, citizens and the government, when he was in Congress, and he was a big deal congressman. He was on the Armed Services Committee. He was a big deal congressman and serious and a lawyer. And he's saying, they came to me and they told me they are creating human alien hybrids. Oh my gosh. Now, the president of the United States at the same time is saying, I'm going to release information soon. And also, there are high level military people in our government who know everything about the UFO program who have disappeared. 2 weeks ago, a Major General McCartland disappeared.
McCaslin.
And more amazing, I'm sorry, say it again.
McCaslin.
Yeah, I always get it wrong. Thank you. McCaslin, thank you. His wife, in the 911 call, which wasn't released till 2 days ago, the 911 tape, what she said, clear as a bell, she was like oddly not distressed. Clear as a bell, she said he left his phone and he left his watch. And the only reason that the Major General would have left his phone and left his watch is if he did not want to be followed. Man knew exactly what he was doing. He's a Major General. You and I, Dave Scott, we're going to talk more about this in just seconds. Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday night.
Lesbians in space.
As she covered everything she could reach with wispy kisses, her hands glided up and down her sides, skimming over her moistened skin.
The people of Walmart.
Walmart. The Villages, Leesburg, beautiful Florida, 35-year-old Sean Glenn Rigsby. Apparently he had a pocket full of, well, food. Yeah, the cops and the Walmart associates didn't mess around and picked up old Sean Glenn Rigsby. The officers found Rigsby leaving the store with a loss prevention associate in tow, following him, trying to stop him from that that food right in his pocket. And yeah, it was not a hot pocket. It was two chicken egg rolls and a Muscle Milk protein shake. The loss prevention associate, confronted Sean Glenn. He goes by Sean Glenn. I think that's actually kind of strong. Really strong all the way around. But Sean Glenn Rigsby, he was a brisk walker until the cops show up and they got him. Rigsby, by the way, this isn't his first time in trouble. History is on that side. Been arrested for theft. And, he had been picked up three times in the last 6 months. And they don't say whether he'd been picked up at a Walmart before. He did, though, get arrested at Dollar General, and he trespassed at his brother's house. Yeah. He also trespassed in a service station bathroom. That's, I don't know if I really want to know more about Sean Glenn trespassing in men's rooms. That doesn't sound good. The late, great George Michael may have been appreciative of his bathroom jaunt, but I have no idea. He may have been just one of these guys that kept harassing and dirtying up the bathroom. Rigsby, by the way, they don't mess around Florida. $4.98, booked into the Lake County Jail with bond at $10,000, and it sounds like his brother is not going to get him out. So whatever is going on with Sean Glenn, hopefully he can get that all straightened out. Get on the straight and narrow, be a productive member of society, and go spend $5.98 like the rest of us at Walmart for a delicious, delicious meal. For the people of Walmart, I'm Velo Hool. Sterling, every damn night.
Walter M. Sterling, you and I are misfits. We don't fit in. We are left-handed, flat-footed, have accessory naviculars. Look it up. That's who we are. The good news is that there's a new definition. It used to be introverts and extroverts, but now there's an outroverts in the middle. An outrovert is somebody who does, in fact, need escape from the crowd, needs time alone. And... oh, wait a minute. That's disturbing. I'm just looking at something here. What? Yeah, I know. And I got distracted. Now, Dave Scott, are you flat-footed?
No. Close, but not.
Are you left-handed?
I am left-handed.
See, there it is. But now there's a new definition of not introvert, not extrovert, but outrovert. People who need to be alone, a lot of time alone, but at some point are happy to go out and be with the crowd for a while. An introvert is never happy to go out and be with the crowd. They can do it, but the more time they spend alone, the happier they get. There's a middle point, which makes sense. As long as I'm alone for a long enough time, then I'm happy to go out and see people. And then at some point we get depleted and we have to shut down. We start being a jerk at a party. We start being difficult with other people. That's when we should have already left. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, yes.
Now, what would you say, at what point do you think, what is going to be the tipping point that's going to make the President of the United States keep his word and say, this is the deal with aliens, with UFOs?
I think that the simplest way for them to do this, and I've said this before, is to say that they found a signal somewhere out in space that seems to be coming from one of the planets within the Goldilocks zone of life. I think that is the safest way. I think if he opens up anything right here that Roswell was in fact a UFO crash with recovered dead aliens, or any of these crashes that happen, whether it's in Kecksburg or Kingman, Arizona. I think that's where you open up the Pandora's box. I also think that they have to go through absolutely everything too, because they also have to figure out how do they continue to hide from their adversaries technologies that we don't even know about on this side of the world. Okay, we don't know what's flying. We also have to remember that, you know, going back to 1992, when the former head of Lockheed Skunk Works, a gentleman by the name of Ben Rich, said, we already have the technology to get E.T. home again. And then he followed up with saying that Lockheed Skunk Works was at least 50 years ahead of what the public is seeing right now, technologically speaking. So we don't know what we actually have. We don't know when we look in the sky and see if we see something weird, is it something that is theirs from a different planet, a different timeline, or is it ours because we're that much advanced? I think that is the big question mark, because you don't want to give up any secrets if you're Donald Trump, but you also want to be as transparent, hopefully, as possible on the alien front. And that's why I believe the safest way to do this is to say they've found a signal.
I think you're absolutely right. And I believe they did find the signal in the 70s. And I think about a year ago, they figured out what that, oh, wow, the wow signal actually was. It was not from here. It was from someplace else. And there's a lot of explaining that can be done without admitting that we've housed aliens for 50 years.
Yeah, you can't. You literally can't. I mean, look, I mean, Walter, if you take the story of Matt Gaetz verbatim, let's say it is 100% true that they are kidnapping people, allegedly, or they are taking people from war zones, allegedly, to crossbreed them with aliens that have been captured, or maybe they're even here because they're on their own little mission to do it, and they've traded humans for aliens. I mean, we have to look at that possibility too. If that is the case, how many people does the government know have been taken? Is there a list of United States citizens that is somewhere in the Pentagon that they know are being visited by extraterrestrials? If they do know and they haven't protected their citizens from these alien entities, wouldn't that cause for a lawsuit? I know if my name was on the list, I would definitely be looking at something like that, that my government was not protecting me in any way, shape, or form, or didn't even let me know. So this opens up a lot of different issues that we can only think of right now as, you know, conspiracy theory. But it seems to be coming true more and more every day.
Absolutely. And I also believe that the deep secret government sometimes tells the president of the United States and other times does not, depending on what they view as the permanency of that president. Is he going to be reelected? Is he going to be powerful after he's out of office? They didn't mess with the Bushes. They told the Bushes everything, in my opinion. They told Lyndon Johnson everything, in my opinion, which is why he got so depressed and took himself out of office. That's my opinion. They told Kennedy everything because it was before they even thought about it. But they told Carter nothing. And they told Trump nothing in his first term. That would be my hunch.
Well, I mean, don't forget, the way your electoral system is set up, the president is a short-termer. I mean, let's face it. Let's say a president gets 8 years. And this is just my assumption, please, from an outsider. Please correct me if I'm wrong. The first year and a half of his presidency is blaming everything on the previous presidency. Then he actually governs for a little bit, for about a year and a half. And then he's got to go into a full year of election preparedness to try and win his second term. Well, once you get that, then you got another couple of years before you become a lame duck person, where really you're not going to get anything really done in those final year and a half to 2 years. So out of the 8 years, you're only really, you know, conducting government for about 4 years. Now, pardon me if I'm wrong. I apologize. I'm not saying that to insult anybody, but I'm just looking at this from an outsider perspective. When you have that short of a time and that short of a span with a person who might only get elected for one term, you don't want to give up the secrets of what you really know about UFOs, aliens, maybe Jesus Christ himself, or how humanity was created, or what technologies you actually have.
Right. Dave Scott. Dave Scott, host of Spaced Out Radio. Thank you very much, Dave Scott. Great website, spacedoutradio.com. Friend of the show. Incredible information about UFOs, Bigfoot, and all the things you and I actually care about every damn night. Oh, Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday night. Here, Sunday nights, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Thank you. Hey there, welcome to Florida Stories. I'm your host, James Parker. For our first one, we're going to Tarpon Springs, and I wish I knew more of the backstory to tell you, because what I do know is a 35-year-old Florida woman goes into work one day, and it's 11-something in the morning. She gets upset about a disciplinary matter. That's all the details we have. She goes, leaves work, comes back, and she has what's described as a flammable liquid. The other employees do not let her in the office. And so she goes and puts the flammable liquid on a car in the parking lot and sets fire to it. So the headline, Florida woman sets car on fire after getting upset with her job, really undersells something that's probably an amazing story. Now, while this is an amazing story in its own rights, it would be even better if we had those details. Don't you agree? Like, what could she have? Because here's the deal. It doesn't excuse her actions, but it does explain her actions, whatever the story is. And you and I have been upset at our job, and we've thought about it. Let's just burn this whole place down. But really, in reality, you and I both know that there's never really a good excuse to go take a bunch of gasoline and go try and set your place of business on fire, or your former place of business on fire, or conversely, someone's car in the parking lot. So there's not a rational answer to this, but don't you wish we knew what caused this irrational act? Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
We go to flight school. So in flight school in Florida, it's a Treasure Coast flight school. You take some classes and you go up with some pilots next to you. And they let you take the stick for a while after, you know, so many classes, and you've demonstrated your proficiency. And so after a few lessons, when it's time for them to take the stick, you know, they get to do a little bit more. And then the next time they get to do a little bit more. And then the next time they get to do a little bit more. And then ultimately you get to fly on your own. Well, one of the students at Treasure Coast Flight School didn't make it to that last step, and he was not very happy about it, much in the same way Anakin Skywalker was mad about not being given the rank of master. This student was so upset at his flight school that after they didn't let him do a solo flight, he went and sabotaged 10 of their planes. He went out to the airfield where they have those little two-seater aircraft, looks like these little bitty guys. And he just started breaking throttles and bending stuff and cracking stuff. And so they had to finally get him off the place, arrest him. And they've got 10 of the planes in the shop right now. But what is going on with people getting mad and then just wrecking shop? And I've just never heard of that. Someone got mad, and has that ever happened in your neighborhood where someone gets mad and they disabled 10 planes in a row? Yeah, same. I never heard of that either. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Next Florida story. This one is all about the body cam footage, because we have a guy who has been drinking some Florida sauce, and it's the middle of the day, and he's out in the middle of the street with his special lady friend, and they are arguing at a very loud volume. And so he's just out there in shorts and no shirt, and the cops show up and he won't calm down. Can you believe that? The drunk Florida man screaming at his significant other in the middle of the street during the day doesn't calm down when the cops ask him nicely. Well, the cops also start putting their hand on their gun, like, how do we know you don't have a weapon? And so in order to prove that he doesn't have a weapon, Florida man pulls down his pants and his drawers, and it's just totally exposed. See, I don't have a weapon. Right. Kind of effective.
Where's my weapon? Where's my weapon?
A man drops his shorts bearing all in the middle of a neighborhood and in front of several deputies. Deputies in Flagler County, Florida, say they were called to the area after a report of someone acting belligerently and arguing with a woman in the street.
It's a weird situation, bro. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next floor story, this one is fun because of the stereotyping game that we all play when we listen to the news. You can pretend like you don't, but whenever someone is describing the details of a crime or some other interesting story in the news, you start picturing, you know, what that person looks like, and necessarily race is one of those factors. Well, in this one, we have the story of a guy who set up a drug deal that went bad, and so he shot a couple of them, and we have what I... You know, I'm not saying this never happened. I just, this is probably rare that if for all the policemen of America or on planet Earth, really, to hear the description of the suspect. Who are we looking for? Well, you're looking for a guy that has red hair, pale skin, wearing a grill. You know, a grill like Nelly wears a grill, like Paul Wall wears a grill. This guy. And I'm not saying like he's the first ginger kid to ever wear a grill, but you know, how many ginger kids are, I mean, this guy looks like Carrot Top when he was 18 and just waving a gun around on top of that. Not saying it never happens, just saying it's kind of a super Florida twist on an otherwise normal sounding story. Charlotte County, Florida. You really outdid yourself. And this guy really, that's a new one. You got me on that one, Florida. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, I chalk this up to one of those. Well, it doesn't sound real if I tell you, so I'm going to let Channel 10.
Off the top at 11, a mother accused of abusing her own son, apologizing as she walked out of jail. Police say that she was caught on camera kicking her three-year-old down a hallway.
And we do want to warn you, the video is disturbing.
So they go through another like 30 seconds of this report saying, look, we just want to warn you before we play the video. This is really disturbing stuff. This is going to be uncomfortable. This is going to be offensive to some people, but we're going to play it. And they played it, and it's horrible. It's actually exactly what it sounds like. Why did they play that? That's so awful. It's so weird. It's the news equivalent of, you know why they did it. They didn't do it because of, you know, some sort of journalistic standard that this, you needed to know about this story. It is very compelling video, and it pulls at your heartstrings to see someone hitting a kid. But it's the same thing as when someone smells something awful, and they're like, oh, my God, this is so awful. You need to smell this. Or, oh, my God, this tastes terrible. You should try this. And, oh, my God, this video is so bad. What do? Now you want to watch it, don't you?
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
We have a babysitter who was, I thought he was just trying to help out. This is the, how do you say this, Holly Hill Police Department responded to a call. This baby was bleeding. Well, what's the problem? Was bleeding from his private parts. And the 29-year-old babysitter came up with several weird stories. But what it turns out was, the 29-year-old babysitter tried to pull a freelance circumcision here on the baby. I mean, well, I say baby, two-year-old boy. Oh, my God. So I don't have the details. I don't know if he used like some safety scissors or if he had an X-Acto knife or I don't know, maybe a weed whacker. I don't know. But, you know, the mom thought the babysitter was a little suspiciously religious, and I don't know what religion it is that you just can't stand foreskin, but that just Florida, you really outdid yourself this week. This is a truly awful series of stories on Florida stories this week. I almost feel like I owe you an apology. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our last Florida story, we're going to North Miami, where a Lyft driver responds to, you know, hey, you got a beep on his app. Let's go pick up this ride. And when he shows up, there's a guy there with a gun. Now, it's not unheard of for your Uber driver, Lyft driver, whoever, to get hijacked, but it's really dumb. I mean, just unbelievably, don't wreck your car. This is so stupid that the guy used his own account with his own history on it, with his real name tied to his real ID, tied to his real debit card, and he basically just got into a Lyft that he called and kicked the guy out and carjacked. They caught him immediately. It's just, and he's got his phone on and they're just like tracking him on the app. Like, this is the dumbest, weirdest attempt. What the hell? Like, if you're that dumb, how do you even have a Lyft account? How do you know how to tether your debit card to it? And how do you not know you're getting tracked? Like, how do you, it's just, I can't stand it. I feel like I'm getting dumber just doing this show. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story.
Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. I am so proud of the fact that since day one, there have been a number of advertisers who have understood what Midnight Misfits are. That we're freaks and strange and we need special products that are just for us. And I want to share right now that one of the advertisers that's always been with us is MyPillow. Now, they're running a sale that's crazy talk. I have these products. I use these products. MyPillow Percale bed sheets, $29.88. Or get this, MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets, $29.98 for MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets. Multiple colors, many colors, at least eight colors, and MyPillow Flannel Sheets, because right about now that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? MyPillow Flannel Sheets, well, what are those, Walter? $29.99. Multiple colors. $29.99. MyPillow Flannel Sheets. You go to MyPillow.com, you put in the promo code Walter, or call 800-844-0876. MyPillow, 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. That is the number for Midnight Misfits. No other host has that number. I don't care what those clowns are saying. When you put in Walter and you say Walter and you call that number, you're going to get the right deal for a Midnight Misfit, and I get credit for it. Do you think I deserve credit? That's what I thought. Plus the Giza pillowcases, those are $19.98. Just the pillowcases, $19.98. Beautiful sheets, multiple colors, made of Giza cotton. Get them now. They sell out fast. They sell out fast. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Walter, or go to 800-844-0876.
You know what I don't like? Paying for something twice. I can't stand that. Hey, it's Rich Zeoli. That's why when it comes to your roof, siding, doors, and windows, there's only one call you should make, and that's to my guys at Emmons Roofing and Siding. Emmons is a platinum Owens Corning contractor, which means that Owens Corning backs not just the shingles, but the workmanship as well for life. That's right, for life. Roofing, siding, windows, doors, residential or commercial, done right the first time, every time. Go to EmmonsRoofing.com.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-700-6898. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-700-6898. That's 800-700-6898. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-700-6898. 800-700-6898.
Right now, our country feels divided, but there's a place where people are coming together.
I was nervous to talk to someone so different than me.
Me too.
Love Has No Labels and One Small Step are helping people with different political views, beliefs, and experiences connect through conversation, and it feels good.
This conversation gives me hope.
It gives me a lot of hope, too.
Take a step toward bringing our country and your community together. Start a conversation at lovehasnolabels.com/one small step. A message from StoryCorps, Love Has No Labels, and the Ad Council.
Sterling every night. Starry books, lusty books. Get cozy with the owl and dawn.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my book, Sonata for Springtime. Natalie danced her fingers down to the waistband of my pants and gave it a little tug. Somewhere in the back of my mind, I guess I thought there was a chance our date could end up like this. All the blood in my body rushed between my legs. Next time, I should just let you plan everything, then. Her bare skin beckoned to me. I cupped the swell of her hips, giving them a playful squeeze. Her back arched and she rubbed against me. This time, I couldn't prevent the groan from escaping my mouth. She bestowed another swift kiss upon my lips, her face hovering close to mine. If you're leaving it up to me, do you want to go upstairs? I struggled to think clearly. I don't know. This carpet is pretty soft and fluffy. She burst out laughing, extricated herself from my grasp, and scrambled to her feet. Come on, she said, jerking my wrist. I stood and let her lead me toward the staircase. After a few steps, though, she froze. Hold on a second. My heart lurched. What's wrong? Turning around, she fiddled with the ends of her hair. Okay, so maybe I didn't consider all the details in anticipation of our date today. She offered me a bashful smile. My bedroom is kind of a disaster right now, so can you give me, like, 5 minutes to straighten up a little bit? I fought the urge to laugh. I promise you, I am not thinking about how neat your bedroom is, nor will I judge your housekeeping skills. Her shoulders slumped as she pleaded with me. No, it's really bad. She took another step toward the stairs, but I seized her elbow and pulled her back. After all this time, I said, snaking one arm around her waist, I'm afraid to let you go for too long. Another frenzied kiss punctuated my statement. Natalie laced her fingers behind my neck, her tongue swirling around mine as she melted back into my embrace. After a moment or two, she swiveled away from me and made a beeline for the stairs. 5 minutes! Already, the room seemed colder without her. Knowing what it was like to touch her and have her touch me in return, I couldn't get enough. I caught up to her before she reached the first step and spun her around. Jonathan, she squealed. Our lips collided before she could say anything else. One of my hands tangled in her hair while she folded her arms around me, slipping beneath my shirt to skim her palms over my back. I shuddered at the contact, driven wild with desire. I needed more from her, needed more of her. Waiting was impossible. Snippets of what we'd experienced so far with each other flashed through my mind, and an idea began to take shape. Without releasing her, I guided her to the piano, nudging her toward the bench. She sat down, facing away from it. I kissed her once more, then knelt on the floor, much like I had when she'd played for me, though this time I positioned myself between her legs. I gazed up at her while my hands glided over her thighs. Her face was flushed, her lips parted as her chest rose and fell with heavy breaths. With deliberation, I folded up the bottom of her dress, exposing the black lace triangle of her thong. As I prepared to remove it, I remembered something crucial. Reaching around her, I closed the lid of the piano, protecting the keys. She giggled and leaned back, propping herself up on one elbow. I returned to my previous task and hooked one finger into either side of her thong. Her hips lifted off the bench, allowing me to slide her panties down and off. Oh, I had better stop here for tonight before we are all in a world of trouble, but you know you can always have more. That was an excerpt from my book, Sonata for Springtime, which is available at Amazon on Kindle Unlimited. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling@gmail.com. I answer every email. I've got a pretty good website, waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. And the greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help.
Sterling is brought to life by these creative people. Musical director Lee Harris. Technical wizard Dave Scalish. Operations, Frank Canal. Sound mixers, Sean Cicero, Sean Walsh, Andrew Torres. Voice actors, James Parker, James Copeland, that's me, Randy Thomas, Charlie Van Dyke, Charles Van Sant, Robert Clotworthy, Peter Thiel, Erotic Thrills, Thea Landon, Class Act, Jill Brooke, Baked Goods, Steve and Selena J.B. Bakery, Skullduggery, Vic Ferrari, Blessings, Father James Drucker, Meteorologist, Dr. Dave Iser, Writer, Jerry the Writer, Business Guidance, Craig Kitchen, Program originated by Chris Olivero, Long-Suffering Executives, David Yagaroff and Greg Stalker, With Respect, Alex Bennett, Sally Jesse Raphael, and Gene Shepard.